Log Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it.
Start the show.
Oh yeah, here we go now. Talking Tuesday.
Right.
We are back, gentlemen, on another jam-packed edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. This month of May is just flying by. But I do have a question for you guys.
Yes, it is.
Do you guys, and especially for Rob, did you get Tim Tebow's jersey? I know you got it, man. So, again, one of the top-selling jerseys. I'm making sure that you are, again, getting that jersey. Curtis, Gary, hope you got that jersey as well, man. We are ready to get this party started here.
I won't waste my money. But, you know, he played in Florida. I mean, a rival in LSU, so I won't buy that. And, of course, you know, he hadn't played on any NFL teams that I'm a fan of. So you don't have to worry about me buying Tim Tebow jersey.
He's number one. Well, the top jersey sells is Tim Tebow. But, you know, again, we're having fun with officially talking sports. 12th man. Again, we're waiting for JK to jump on in a quick second. But before we do that, as we always like to do, we like to check in with the fellas. So we'll go around the room. Curtis, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, every day above ground is a good day. And that's the way I feel. And that's the way I'm going to always feel as long as I'm here. And I love it.
Nice.
Nothing at all.
looking good. Gary, how you feeling, sir?
You fighting, brother?
Yeah, I'm doing well. We're over here with Curtis, and we're doing our thing as usual, and it's a good day. Good day.
Nice. Looking good.
It looks like you're in San Francisco again, man.
Golden Gate?
You got the Golden Gate going behind you.
Gary didn't have anything to say. Oh, man.
How about Mount Hood?
Gary, we'll do that.
Well, you Gary. Know what? You know, I keep forgetting that Arnetta had this on it for some Zoom call that she was on for work. And I keep forgetting to have her change it. So I don't know how to do it. So I'm could you do me a favor? I know you're a busy man. I know you put in a whole hell of a lot of hours at work. But can you help a brother out and help me next week and say, hey, don't forget to change the backdrop for Gary. She's my tech support.
I'll send you a text.
You've got a secretary, you know.
Hey, and that's on me too, because I should have jumped on a little earlier to help you with that, Gary, too. We can check that next week too. We talked about that too. So if worse comes to worse, we can definitely do that that quick adjustment too. So we got a couple people that are ready to assist you if needed, sir. So we got you.
Yo, I'm here too.
So, and Lou is here as well. So welcome.
Thank you.
So again, let's get this party started. Let's throw out the numbers. For everyone, as we are ready to officially kick off another great edition of Talking Sports with 12th Man on, again, this Tuesday, May the 25th. The numbers calling the show, it's always the same number, the 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we are on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, put in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, we are in that area as well. So, gentlemen, let's get this party started. Let's talk just right out the gate. What an exciting NBA season we have for the playoffs here, and we're going to kind of talk about some young stars in the NBA today from, you know, Devin Booker, John Morant, Luka Doncic, Trae Young. I'm sure you guys have a lot to talk about. So, Rob, we'll kind of kick off with you, sir, and we'll kind of get this party started here. So, yeah. So you.
Yeah, you know, a lot of talk. You know, we obviously, you look at LeBron James now, I can't keep track of his age. I don't know if he's 36 or 37 now. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant are in their early 30s. Eventually, these guys are going to have to pass the torch on to the younger generation. And it seems as though the NBA is in really good hands right now with a bunch of young stars right now. I know Andre gets excited. You talk about Trae Young hit a shot at the end of the game to beat the Knicks the other day. And he's just one of these guys, just a true scorer that can get to the paint and score, that can shoot the three-pointer and score. Luka Doncic, I mean, this guy is an MVP caliber player right now in this league. And I believe last I checked, Dallas is beating the Clippers, which if they pull this out will be up 2-0 on the road. They're only up by four so far, but a real threat. And he's going to be a threat in this league for a long time. 6'7" with handles, rebounds, scores, pass the ball. Even though he's not in the playoffs, Zion Williamson, the way he scored in the paint, at an extreme level here. Donovan Mitchell, even though he's hurt, hopefully he'll be back for game two, but just an elite and electric player. Ben Simmons, even though he can't throw it from the ocean from the outside, but he does so many other things well, from a defensive end and low post score and a passer. Devin Booker, I've been saying this all season, I can't understand why he hasn't been in the MVP conversation. Phoenix is one game off from being the number one overall seed in these playoffs, and he's been the main reason for it, right? When you look at the way he can score, penetrate, shoot the ball from the outside. DeAndre Ayton, what he's doing, he outplayed AD. The Joker in Denver, who's the leading candidate for MVP. Jamal Murray, even though he's out, you just got so many great young players right now in the game. Michael Porter Jr., Giannis in Milwaukee, still fairly young. Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, Bam Adebayo leading the Heat to the finals last year. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in Boston, even though Brown is out. I go on and on. Ja Morant, I don't know, he should have been at the top of the list. Go on the road.
Oh, absolutely.
Beat Golden State in the play-in game. Beat Utah in game one. And another guy that's not in the playoffs would be De'Aaron Fox. So you guys got a ton of young stars in the NBA right now.
That's another one,
Really set up for a long-term success. And I'm probably missing about four or five guys, too.
Well, I think you're right. You know, all the players that you mentioned are phenomenal. You know, I think that Luka is just he's phenomenal. I mean, I'm watching this game, and we had talked about specifically these young players and who are these rising stars, I think around maybe like a year ago or whatever, and I mentioned this guy, and he's just – you know, he's one of those guys, and all the guys that you mentioned have that, the one thing in common that they have is they just play within themselves. Booker's the guy that really, those two guys, Luka and Booker, I think those two guys, I get to see them a lot out west, and I'm just so impressed with those guys. Those guys can bring fear to another team. I don't care who they go up against. They're just really solid NBA players. But every name that you mentioned, Rob, on that list, those guys have got that factor. That I think that what you want in your young stars is none of those guys that you mentioned are trouble guys outside of the NBA, and they're just superstars, rising stars in the league. And I think this league is really going to be really strong when that torch is finally passed to those guys. I mean, they're all really, really solid players. Curtis, what do you think?
Yeah.
Well, you did mention that boy. I did mention that boy. They took him second behind the guy in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that boy is something else. And he's going at it. The guy from Oregon, Brooks. Brooks was the guy that got Oregon in a Final Four that a lot of people didn't see. And Brooks was legit. And I didn't think that white guy from Duke was going to be in the NBA.
Oh, great.
But, yeah, that's playing in Memphis also. And I'm surprised to see him there. There's surprises all in the league looking at, and if you keep up with the college team, you see some stuff, which is good. I think we got a guy that's getting play time here in Portland. I got that won the dunk contest. And I see him get more play time. And I see Damian and the Blazers passing the torch off to him. And Colin. Damian and I were talking about that earlier. Colin's been playing with him. They got a plan for him.
Mm-hmm. Right. Lou, what you got? You got anything else to add to that?
Well, he kind of broke up, so I didn't hear all this. But, you know, there's been a couple of surprises in the first round. I mean, the Jazz losing at home. I mean, that was kind of like a big surprise right there. Atlanta and New York can go either way. Of course, I am a Knicks fan, so I'm hoping it was a close game throughout, which I expected. But Atlanta, just was able to take advantage of the last second mishap by the Knicks, and that's how it got away. But I'm not hitting the panic button yet. One game does not make a total series, so we're going to bounce back. I love what the Nets are doing, though. I mean, Boston doesn't look like they're holding it. Doesn't look like they can hold a candle to them. I think the Nets are going to sweep this up. That.
Yeah, good stuff. JQ, is that you? Are you on?
I am. What's up, y'all?
Not too much. I think we're getting some feedback there, but all good, man. Good to have you on board as always, too, man. We're just recapping the Young Stars. It's all good, man. Yeah. All good.
LaMelo Ball, we just talk about. We had a phenomenal year. It looked like he's got a bright future as well.
I was going to say really quickly, Gary, I don't want you to sleep on Trae Young either. I know you get a chance to see Luka, and you get a chance to see the amazing Devin Booker too, but just don't sleep on Trae as well because, again, very excited to see him join a great list as far as, that double-double, joining LeBron. Joining Michael Jordan, actually also joining Derrick Rose. That's interesting enough as well. But to get him in that first game too, and I know since JQ was on, we do have that battle back and forth between Luka and Trey, and some people may give obvious doubt to Luka, but I'm actually like I said again, I know you can't teach size, but this may be a situation where actually it's okay. Both teams actually. Did good, if you will, too. So, it's one of the situations where, especially we're excited to see how well Trey played versus New York. Sorry, Lou, and all the crap that he was taking, too. But just a real exciting game, and it could go either way. I know the Hawks didn't shoot as well. Random don't have that great of a game, but like I said, again, just a very evenly matched series, and we'll know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm sure the Knicks ain't going to let Trey go for crazy again, but we'll talk about that. Do you have anything to add to that, too, JQ, real quick?
Oh, we're just talking about a recap of the first games of the first round of the playoffs?
The young stars in the NBA. I know Rob went over a couple of them, from the Ja Morant to Devin Bookers and, Luka Doncic and Trey's and stuff like that, too. So we're kind of talking about that. Then we're going to launch into the Blazers-Nuggets recap by Curtis and Gary. So I don't know if you wanted to add anything about the young stars, if you will.
I mean, ice train. Ooh, chilly. That was a cold-blooded Florida Heat just hit on the Knicks, and the thing about him is that he's embracing that take you talked about where people were talking about Lucas burning him. And I love it from his perspective. He's embracing it, and he's going out there and playing his game, and he shut down that whole Madison Square Garden with that shot. That was tremendous. I got to give him a lot of credit on that shot. That was far out ridiculous. I was a little surprised by the Grizzlies beating the Jazz.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think this is the problem that everybody has had from the get go, where they were just not sold on the Jazz, and they reared its ugly head with the Grizzlies and Morant. So you know you got to give them a lot of credit for what they did. But yeah, with Trae Young, that was nasty.
Yeah. Yeah, John Morant and Brooks were just killing the back player, just putting in work.
Yeah.
Like you said, it was interesting to see how Utah has to react, because Utah, you know, they're the number one seed, so they thought they had it coming. And, you know, that shows you how much that team misses Donovan Mitchell, too, as you mentioned earlier, too, Rob, as far as that, too. So just a key stat about that as well, too. I mean, obviously, they kind of neutralized Gobert. Gobert still got his points, but just seeing, again, that firepower from those young guys kind of reminds you of the Blazers with McCollum and Lillard, if you will. So speaking of that, let's turn to Curtis and Gary and a quick recap on the Blazers-Nuggets game so far. So what's for you guys on the West Coast?
Well, you know, Curtis made a comment that, you know, that the Nuggets were in big trouble. I think it's going to be a good series. You know, what happened in this last game, the Blazers did exactly what they needed to do. They went in, split with the team, got home court advantage back. Now let's see what they do on our court. If they can hold that, then Curtis's prediction is probably solid. But what happened in this last game, what I noticed is the Blazers kind of got up. They let the referees take them out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
They let calls maybe that would normally be called in a regular season game. The referees tend to, you know, let these players play a lot harder, a lot more physical in the postseason, and they let that get to them, and it got them out of the game. The only one, in my opinion, that they didn't take away is, you know, from that is Dame. You know, he comes to play every game, and you know he plays his ass off. I was a little disappointed in how CJ performed in the game, in the second game. I think in some critical moments, missed shots, turnovers, things that CJ normally doesn't do, he did. We brought it within four, and then they built the big lead up on it. We couldn't overcome. I think the second half, you know, they put that big body on Damian. Damian's the type, he's going to study the film, he's going to watch it, and if they try and do the same thing, he'll handle that. He'll handle his business. So they'll have to readjust. I think they'll end up having to readjust on that. Either bring out two guys on Damian and that sort of thing. Because they would, you know, Damian's going to get his points. Now, I think the rest of the team in this last game really let, I was very impressed with how Anthony Davis played in game one. I mean, Anthony Davis, Carmelo Anthony played in game one.
In game two, don't start talking about Anthony Davis, man.
Well, yeah. He sucked in game one. Now Carmelo sucked in game two. So they both sucked in one of their games. But anyway, nevertheless, I think that was really the key is Damian got his, but he didn't have enough of a supporting cast to pull that game two out of his ass. So they're going to have to play. They're going to have to let the play. They're going to have. I kind of blame that on some of that on coaching. You know, you got to prepare your team. You got to have your team ready to be punched in the mouth and fight through them.
Yep.
And I do blame a lot of that on coaching. You know, these wide open layups that they got. You know, when you score 50 points, 56 points in the paint, and I can think of six or seven of those, maybe 10 of those that were just layups, uncontested layups to the basket.
Yeah.
that is uncalled for. And that's what I saw that I didn't like. I saw a different team in game one. If they can play more like they played in game one, in game three, I'm very confident in the outcome. What do you got, Curtis?
Well, like Dennis said, they did that to us in their and they should have been ready for that. And that is by the coach. The coach should have never let them that we did never. And it was, if you looked at that game, it was some funky cover. And it could have gotten jammed. But the blitzes, and I heard some of the buses say this yesterday, that they're not a team that now, once they beat you, they're not a team that says we're more hungry. And they got to learn that. They got to learn once they beat you, they want to get your heart out. That's going to be coaching. You want to take a team's heart out. And what they need to do coming up in these three games in Portland, is beat them thoroughly, put them back on their heels, and go back to Georgia and take their heart. And I think they can do it. I think there are better teams. There are better teams than Denver is. And a lot of that is because of their
Go ahead, Rob.
Yep. Yeah, you know, that was some really good analysis. Obviously, you guys watch the Trailblazers very closely up there. Just from my observations in a couple of games, and, yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with Carmelo. I think he came out shooting the ball really well in game one, and that was a big difference for the Blazers. And I think the physicality in game one, Denver didn't quite match the Blazers' physicality in game one, too, and it really hurt them. And they got the ass kicked in game one. In game two, you saw a different Nuggets team where they came out and matched intensity, they matched the physicality. You saw the Joker, you know, came out with 38 points. I think he had about 8 rebounds and 5 assists. Michael Porter Jr. was more aggressive. At one point in the game, or second half, they put Aaron Gordon Dame and kind of slowed him down and made things a little difficult. Even though Dame still had 42 points, they really made it difficult. Some really nice adjustments in game two by Mike Malone. And Dame didn't get as much help as Gary already mentioned. Carmelo didn't show up in game two. McCollum didn't quite show up in game two. Dame didn't quite get the help that he needed in game two as well. So definitely a tale of two games, and we'll kind of get to see, you know, what team comes out here in game three. Already just two games in the series, and maybe because they played the last game of the regular season against each other too, this series is one of the trippiest series out of all the series out there right now. These teams, two teams are really getting physical and really getting into it with each other right now. So it's going to be a really interesting series to watch down the stretch, like I said. After two games, these guys are already chippy, which is expected after you're playing against the same opponent for so many games. But maybe you don't quite see it after two games, but you already see it in this series.
Yeah. Buck Williams is not coming out of there. Go ahead, JQ. Kevin Duckworth ain't coming out.
But also the thing about it is that you can't discount the fact that Carmelo was playing back in Denver, and he came out guns blazing in game one. And it's hard to keep carrying that over with that kind of level of vitriol and hatred, unless you're Michael Jordan. Like, some people can do it for a game or two, and then they go back to a regression to the mean of, okay, you know, I at this stage of his career, he is who he is. He had a little bit of a renaissance in that first one with the boom and everything that happened, but then, you know, he went back to being, you know, what, 18 years in the league, Carmelo. So, and then from Denver's standpoint, it's like, okay, desperation. Like, we can't go down 0-2. It's like, we're not going to be able to come back down 0-2. You saw when they started that game, they couldn't miss a shot. They played with so much more energy to start game two. And that's really what it comes down to. And I agree. You, you've got reports out there already about Terry Stotts doesn't do better with this team that he's fired. And that's already been out there.
Oh.
So you have to add that level into the pressure that Portland feels. And then Denver coming out in game two and saying, no, man, no. We're not going to let that go down the same way. And you got a 1-1 series. I really thought this was always going to be a really good series. And I still anticipate it being a good series. That West is just loaded. It's just, as you can see, there is no gimme games. Like, that West, all those games would probably go to game six. Like, I don't see any games, no sweeps or any, you know, winning 4-1. I really think that Western Conference playoffs are going to be a whole lot of games, six and sevens. I do.
Wow. Good stuff. Good analysis, too, gentlemen. Yeah, so, Louis, do you wrap up on that? Cool. All right, let's keep us moving here, as always. All right, gentlemen, so we are going to talk about, really briefly, Rob, if you can kind of talk about the Bucks Heat. And just because, you know, obviously, I think Forbes is still shooting threes right now, too, man. But you talk about just complete ass-whipping for that team, man, because this was the finalists for last year. The Heat and Davis are not looking like themselves at all, and their injuries have definitely taken part with Butler being out a lot, but not, totally different game for the Heat.
Yeah, well, we talked about physicality, and this Milwaukee team is a lot more physical than the team we saw last year in the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
Adding guys like DJ Tucker and Drew Holiday, one of the best defenders in the game, you know, getting that clutch block at the end of the game against Miami in game one. I mean, they just, and you mentioned it, Forbes hitting three-pointers. You're getting big shots from Chris Middleton. In addition to Drew Holiday's defense, he added like 13 assists in game two. So you're seeing a team that's a lot more physical than what we saw last year in the playoffs. And if this continues, this series might be over fast. I look for Miami. Eric Spoelstra and that team's got a lot of pride. You got to think they're going to come out and have a little bit more a little bit more competitive here in game three here. But it's going to be really interesting. This some of these moves the Milwaukee's made, I'm not sure if it's going to take them to the finals or win a championship, but you can see the difference, the defensive intensity, the physicality, just from adding some key pieces in Drew Holiday and P.J. Tucker, just to increase the intensity of that ball club. And so it's going to be really interesting. Giannis, big game, triple-double. Forbes, big game with, I think, in 5 3-pointers as well. So this game was over at halftime. It was done. Game two was, I should say.
Yeah, and I'm curious because, like, JQ always talks about the Bucks. I wonder if they have enough to do this. Yeah, I don't think they have enough, you know, if you will. So I'm curious what JQ thoughts on that, too.
The thing about it is it's almost like those moves are a year too late in the overall scheme of things when I say that, because of what the Nets have done in terms of, you know, a Harden and an Irving and a Kevin Durant. But like you said, Holiday and Tucker, they're playing more physical for sure. And they're going to come out and shoot like that. I mean, God bless. Like, they just came out, they just blitzed the Heat. And that was really, you know, that was just impressive. But the other thing that I see what they're doing is not putting Giannis at the top of the key and letting teams build that wall around him and ask him to penetrate 1-on-4. They're letting him move around. They're letting Holiday control the ball as well. And, you know, it's that motion is changing the dynamic of that Milwaukee offense. And you see the proof is in the pudding of what they've done in the series, especially in game two. So you got to give Coach Bud a little credit for, you know, going back to the drawing board, right, and finding a way to take that two-time MVP and Giannis and say, okay, how can we make him more effective in the playoffs? As much as I like what they're doing right now against Miami, I just don't know if that's going to be enough, you know, long-term against to get through them, the Sixers, and the Nets. I just don't think that's enough.
Nice.
Well, watching that series so far and watching how dominating they were and the pieces that they brought in, I don't believe it's enough to maybe, you know, win those series against either the Nets or the Sixers. But I think it's definitely enough to keep them very competitive with those teams. I've always been impressed with Holiday and his abilities and his IQ out on the basketball court and his willingness to win. He's one of those guys that has that, you know, that will to win. Just, you know, so I really like the moves that they brought in. And we'll see how it goes. I think this one is going to be a short series. I think that at best the Heat's going to win one game. And, you know, that's how it looks to me right now. I could be wrong. I've been wrong once or twice in my life. but that's how it looks right now. It looks like this is
the
one
series. Yes, the Andy Dalton thing was
one
of them, right?
What's that? Dalton thing was one of them.
Yeah, I guess the Andy Dalton thing was one of them, right?
Yeah, that was the second time.
That should count for two.
Okay. Three times I've been wrong now. Thank you for bringing that up.
Oh, man.
Curtis, what are you?
Curtis, what you got?
One thing I think about the West, it's going to be too bad. The West is going to beat each other up. And it's going to be coming out. It looks like the Lakers are the favorite, but if one of those guys get hurt, or if both of them get hurt, they're down. But when you come out, you're going to say Hawaii, AD, and the beer. And, man, that's a lot of to ask for after you get beat up coming out of the West. Those guys can shoot, and they can score. And the best one might be the beer.
Yep.
Good stuff. Lou, anything to add to that?
No, go ahead.
Gotcha. All right. Hey, this is pretty interesting, too. And before we get to JQ's Lakers, I do want to kind of briefly talk about the Mavs and the Clippers. And this is going to be interesting because Gary throws a lot of shade at Paul George, his favorite player. But I'm just joking, Gary. But you talk about a Clippers team that has been very, very underwhelming. You're supposed to have some stars in Paul George. You're supposed to have, you know, Kawhi Leonard is supposed to be like that dude and, you know, this defensive guy. And again, it's kind of looking like, you know, they kind of there's some speculation that they kind of tanked so they could play the Mavericks. And the Mavericks take it to them. Now, once again, we talked about last week how, you know, Luka is probably going to put an APB on Porzingis because he hasn't been playing yet. He's been injured. But for what's been happening, it looks like the Mavs are like, yo, you know, we ain't scared of you Clippers. And the Clippers are not, you know, we talked about coaching, whatever, they are not stepping up to the plate, too. So you talk about an interesting series, and it looks like we've got JQ on the Zoom. So, Rob, what do you say about that, sir?
Yeah,
I mean, looking at this, I actually have the Dallas Clippers series on the TV right now, and Dallas is up by four. And looking at it, man, they just can't find an answer for Luka, man. They're throwing everything under the sun at him, and they can't stop him, man. He just wheeled his way in the paint against Morris down low. He's shooting three-pointers like Larry Bird. I mean, they cannot find an answer for him right now. He's just killing them. No, his shot looks like Larry Bird to me. it really does. So,
Bird of Flat, kill him softly.
They can't find an answer for him, and his basketball IQ is way beyond his years. He just understands the game. He's got great flow. He's got great pace. And if the Clippers does not win this game at home in game two, this series is done.
Done.
If they go up 2-0 tonight to win both of these games on the road, this series is done. And this is what the Clippers get. They tanked at the end of the season, and now they can't find a way to win again because they are losing on purpose. Now they can't get the winning ways back, and this is what they get. But, you know, it's all looking at it here, it's all about Luka. And obviously, this game two is far from over. I mean, Dallas is up by two now. It's Kawhi Leonard just scored, but it's all about Luka right now, and they just cannot seem to find an answer for him. I mean, he had a triple double in game one. and probably well on his way to another one tonight.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Be careful what you wish for, because they took it to him in game one, and again, I still expect the Clippers to win this game. I do. I feel like the Dallas came out and they had a push. For whatever reason, the Clippers don't start the games well right now. But I still think they found a way. I think, you know, they somehow, some way behind Kawhi, found a way to win this. I just can't see them falling behind 0-2 to the Mavericks, because then the pressure, you talk about falling behind 0-2 at home and then having to go on the road to win two games to get the home court back. I mean, wow. So I think you're going to see in the fourth quarter, and I know they haven't been that clutch this year in the fourth quarter, but I personally would be so shocked if I wake up in the morning and they have lost the game to the Mavericks. But give the Mavericks a whole lot of credit for not backing down, for two. This, remember when we were growing up and you had to go through a team, right? Like, they would beat you maybe a year or two in the playoffs, and then it was like, you know what? They're not going to do this to us again. And it feels like the Mavericks came out with that, like, you know what? They beat us last year. We held our own, but nobody gave us a chance anyway. Porzingis also got hurt in that series. And then you watch them basically tank to play us again. A piece of that is just pride. Like, you know, we NBA players, too. We got stars on our team. Bump that. And through the first game and a half, that's what you see coming from the Mavericks. Like, oh, is this what you wanted? Okay, you got it. So, playoff P, where you at?
Yep, there it is. Good call.
Yeah.
Good analysis.
Well,
yeah.
Porzingis just hit a turnaround jumper in the eyeball.
I will say that, you know, this is Paul George's M.O. You know, that's his deal. First round.
Yeah.
First round knockout, you know. He likes losing in the first round. So I think that if you're counting on Paul George to step up, this is what you're asking Paul George to step up in the first round. He's not going to step up.
Wow.
Kawhi can, you know, will his team to win.
Pick the wrong
but he, if they win tonight, it's going to be because of him. It's not going to be because of her.
Oh, my goodness.
You picked the wrong Robin. Definitely.
Let's see what kind of adjustments they can make. I just saw a shot of their coach, Lou, and he looked lost. That coach better not be lost. He better be locked in, and he better figure this Dallas team out. Because Dallas, they're not playing.
Beverly just pitched it. But
you saw a lot of times, too, like JQ was talking about, and the Clippers, they lost a lot of pieces, you know, to that bench, too. They lost, you know, Seth Curry. They lost Austin Rivers. They lost DeAndre Jordan.
Yep.
You know, obviously, you know, they got, you know, you thought they got a run back. But, you know, yeah, so they really, and then obviously losing Doc Rivers, you know, Doc was like, you know what, I'm out. You know, y'all ain't putting that on me as not being a player, because I've won so much in Boston, and y'all going to put that on me as far as the Clipper team, so. Again, just the underwhelming performances of the guys that don't have that will. You got to want it more than the coach. You know, that's something that is happening right now, too. So, obviously, like you said, Gary Curtis, Kawhi may have it. But, you know, Paul, just, for some reason, he's just not stepping up. I like Beverly, but for some reason, he's not stepping up. You know, there's just the other pieces, you know, like you talked about losing Montrezl, there's pieces they don't have for the Clippers, too. So, we'll let that slide again. And,
And you know what's crazy about it? Is that Kawhi can opt out after this year. Does he, in the back of his mind, look down at Mr. PG and be like, this is either him or me. If I resign, you got to trade him. If you're going to stay here, I'm going to leave. Because I've heard a story that the only team that he would leave to go for right now would be the Heat. And that's in Kawhi.
Wow. Interesting.
So,
wow.
All right. Interesting.
Wow.
All right, let's let Jakey get his thoughts in here because, again, what a disappointing series for Anthony Davis. The first game, he did come out and actually say that the first game was on him. But, you know, and again, we're going to ask why the NBA didn't penalize LeBron. We kind of have a feeling why they need LeBron in this, if you will. But
just an interesting series to talk about. And we gave some props to Devin Booker, to DeAndre Ayton kind of doing this thing against Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis was shooting too many damn jumpers, if you will. He wasn't getting down low and dominating as he should have been, because you like 6 foot, 7 foot something, bro. You should not be shooting jumpers, man. So, again, I don't know if you credit the Suns or you kind of like, again, just look at the way Anthony Davis played, but now you have your little stage, AK, to talk about a couple things, and they are up right now for the Lakers, but, again, they're in a definitely dogfight. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, it's on Anthony Davis, and, you know, Rob knows about it, and I know he's a little biased the way it played out at the end, but at some point, man, you got to man up.
Yeah.
You know LeBron is not 100%, and he's out there trying to give it to you, but
that's the problem.
That dude, you destroyed Ayton in that last time you played him in the regular season. You come out there and float around. You don't want to put your foot in the paint and bang. Dude, you are 6'11". The best lineup the Lakers have is when Anthony Davis plays the five for long stretches of time. It's just the plus-minuses prove it out. For whatever reason, mentally, he does not want to play the five. And then Marc Gasol is slower, but he spreads the floor. Drummond is more of a presence, but he can't spread the floor. He clogs up the paint. Anthony Davis just floats around the perimeter shooting jump shots. And I'm like, bro, if you don't get down there and put 1 foot in the paint and abuse somebody and make them collapse the defense and then kick out and then make those three-point shots more open for your shooters, I don't know what else to tell you. There is no way that he comes out and has a game like that in game one of the playoffs when you have 4 days to rest. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
LeBron didn't have a great game either. Those two have to get somewhere and look at each other and say, bro, we lose this series, they are getting ready to flame us, me and you. They don't care about Alex Caruso or Dennis Schroeder or THT. The narrative is going to be about how me and you came out here and laid an egg in this postseason. So, hey, bro, you got me, I got you, let's get going. If you go farther and you lose to, like, the Nets or something like that, they might still hear about it, but people can understand that. The people are not going to understand how you come out there and lose 4-1 or 4-2 to the Phoenix Suns when you got those two dudes on your team. And the way they play on Sunday, they have too much talent. They do. You're talking about Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, who this is their first experience in this kind of crucible, and they're playing LeBron and AD. And you got thoroughly outplayed by those two in game one. What are you made of? What are you going to do? You got to figure it out. I don't care what you got going on. You better figure it out. Yeah, they up 9 right now, but they got a buttload of time left in that game, so we'll see. But I was thoroughly disappointed in AD and LeBron. They just didn't come out with any kind of sense of urgency in game one. None.
Yeah. Yep. Totally right. And, you know, you're starting to see Anthony Davis punk ways, you know, which I've been trying to show you guys. And
punk ways.
You saw it firsthand on Sunday, right?
Oh,
you know, showed no heart, showed no effort. As JQ mentioned, didn't want to bang with DeAndre Ayton, and Ayton just ate him up, man. Had a double-double, had almost like 20-something points, almost 20 rebounds. Anthony Davis barely probably had 5 rebounds in that game. Just no toughness, just showed a lot of his punk ways that he has in him. And it was on full display. And LeBron, he had to start to worry if all the time was starting to catch up with him here. You know, you just didn't see any explosion. You didn't see it in the play-in game against the Warriors. You didn't see it game one. Now, I will say, I mean, Lakers are up in this game. Of course, I've been flipping back and forth, so I got it on the Lakers game here right now. But I will say they have come out here in game two showing a lot more aggressiveness. Drummond, LeBron, and AD had double figures here at halftime here in this ball game. So they're going to need all three of those guys to really come up big for them if they're going to have a shot. The Phoenix is cut it down a little bit, about 8 right now. But, you know, they're going to need AD to have double-doubles every night. And then, you know, they're going to need the old LeBron to show up. Like I said, they did come out showing a little bit more aggressiveness. LeBron even had a little more pep to his step here early in this game as well. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this series goes forward.
Well, when you were talking about they're going to need Anthony Davis, you know, to get double-doubles, not 10 and 10. 10 and 10's not going to cut it. He's going to have to get 25 and 10, 25 and 13. He's going to have to hit that. He's going to have to hit those types of marks. You know, LeBron
Thanks
is going to.
Thanks for clarifying that for me. Yep.
Yeah, you know, he's going to have to. He's trying to will his team to win, and right now they're up. But you know, and those guards have to come out. Schroeder has to come out and play tough on those guards, and he has the ability to. He has the ability to stay in front of those guards. I don't necessarily know what's the little white guy's name.
Caruso.
Yeah. I don't really think he has that kind of ability to really stay in front of those guys. But I do know that you know their other guard does. So I think that's really the key. But he's got to have Anthony Davis. He's really the key though, and he's got to have big. Double-double games, you know.
Robert,
high, close to the third, you know, 25 to 30 points and 10 to 13, 10 to 15 rebounds. He's got that in him. He's tall and big. But just like you were talking about plus and minuses, JQ, you know, I don't know what is his issue with, you know, with playing the center position. I have no idea.
Yeah.
He's not a guard.
Yes, he's got
an outside. Yes, he's got a mid-range shot. But really, I mean, the numbers don't lie. You know, he's got to get over it if he wants to win.
Yep.
Right.
Well, yeah. You know, another concern to me a little bit about the Lakers, and the Lakers could very well win this series and still compete for a championship. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, looking at that game one on Sunday, when they go to that lineup with AD, LeBron, Caruso, Kentavious Pope, and Schroeder, and that lineup concerns me a little bit. And the reason why it does, you know, if you're going to go far in the playoffs, you really need a bona fide number three guy. And Caldwell Pope, Caruso, and Schroeder could be kind of sometimey, right? And that lineup can really concerns me. Then even against Phoenix, if you got DeAndre on the court, if you got Chris Paul on the court, if you got Devin Booker on the court, and, you know, you got a guy like Jay Schroeder, you know, somebody like that on the court. You know, it just concerns you if you're getting enough outside of LeBron and AD, even if LeBron and AD are on. And so, yeah, that lineup is a bit concerning to me if you're a Lakers fan.
It is.
I'm
going to
say, you know, I think nothing going to get hurt. They got a chance a little bit.
Good,
yeah, they got a great chance. But, like I said, the West is so tough. They're not going to walk through the West this year.
No.
And, I don't want the Blazers to look past what the Blazers got to do. But if they do get past Sixers, their next game will be with the Lakers. And Jerry and I will be there. We will make
nice.
That game.
Okay.
And I'm going to get on talk radio, and I'm going to give them the strategy. But they got to take care of Jimbo first, and I know they can do that. They need to know they can
nice.
Do that. Booker, if he's going to take the next step, he's going to really go out in this series. He's going to grow up in this series. And that's going to be Booker. And that's going to be watch out for next year.
Too small.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right. Yeah. I'm just going to say, too, just to kind of, like, piggyback on what Rob was saying earlier about, you know, the Suns. The Suns, they had a little taste of the playoffs last year, the play-in game, even though they basically were 10-0. They didn't get a chance to obviously play in the playoffs, but they proved that they were, like, you know, we're thinking about just, you know, keeping an eye on Phoenix, and that's obviously, as they came out this year and adding that piece in Chris Paul, adding a veteran point guard, if you will, too. So they were – definitely ready. They're running into a pretty challenging team with the Lakers, too. But like I said, this is a good litmus test for Phoenix, if you will, to kind of figure out what they have to definitely achieve, if you will. We got about 10 minutes in the show. I'm going to talk about Julio. That'll let you guys kind of add your thoughts, whatever you want to talk about towards the end of the show here. But, again, we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week, but this is officially now front and center, and a lot of things coming out. And, you know, it's tough because, you know, as a Falcon fan, I was going to wear my Julio jersey, but I just don't know that. But as a Falcon fan, it's interesting because next to Matt Ryan, Julio was the guy that we've had for the Falcons, and obviously us making that trade up for the Browns, and you think about how different the Browns would look if they would have got Julio Jones. But whenever we made that interesting trade, ironically, we thought AJ Green, but we ended up targeting Julio Jones. So we get Julio Jones, and you know, the rest of the history. Now, the flip side, and I know Rob likes to talk about Julio a lot because you got this guy that's making $23 million over the next few years, and the staff was, the current regime was amazed at how much they were paying him and how much he wasn't on the field. Like, we're paying, it's like you have a Ferrari, but you got it in the shop. So we're kind of born with, you know, we know how great Julio is when he's on the field, but is he on the field enough? Is he worth that salary, right? But it's kind of like you like that girl, but you don't want to get rid of her because, like, man, we've had some great times. But then you're like, I don't know. There's other things that you want to think about. And I kind of think it's interesting because there's this, you know, it's kind of this back and forth. And if Julio really did say, hey, I want to be out and, you know, I'm requesting the trade, you know, I have nothing but respect, you know, to say, hey, that's cool. But in the Falcons, we're kind of like, hey, we'll keep that mum. We're not going to discredit Julio. But you got all these things happening because you got the history and what we've had to give up to get him, and that was a big move, and he's been one of the great players and Hall of Fame guy, and you don't want to see him in another uniform, but you're like, dang, you just know how that often should be with him, but it's just a lot. So, you know, I know the rumors are him going to the Patriots, and you got some rumors of him going to the 49ers and Titans and whatnot too. So it's just like, you know, I just think it's interesting. But, you know, the staff regime looked at it and said, hey, if you're not playing, we can't justify you making $11 million a year, which is a tough pill to swallow, but it is, you know, is Julio that injury prone? He's getting older. He's not the same dude. So you have to kind of look at all that, if you will. So that's kind of like my 2 cents on the situation, if you will.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not a Falcon fan, and it's no secret. But
I don't, you don't say.
But to me, you all know this. I've been saying this all along in our draft projections and things of that nature. It's a smart move for the Atlanta Falcons. Like I said, I'm saying that, and I don't like the Falcons, but it's a smart move to get rid of Julio Jones at that price, at the number of games he's playing. You're just not getting the production you need at that price. And I've been saying it all along. They either got to trade him or they got to waive him, one of the two. And you just, you know, unless he's willing to renegotiate his contract and come down substantially in that price, you're only playing 5 or 6 games a season, it seems like, for 2 or 3 years now. As great of a talent as he is, if you and the Falcons executive, it's just not a smart decision to keep him at that price. And you, Matt Ryan can say all he wants about he's a good teammate, good weapon. But, I mean, you got Calvin Ridley, you got Kyle Pitts now. You got 2 weapons right now that's going to really put some, you know, some fear into a lot of defense right there, even without Julio Jones. And to me, it's the right move to make from an executive standpoint. It doesn't make sense to keep Julio Jones on that roster, especially at that price.
Well, even outside of that, the management of the cap out around them is either him or Brady, right? Like, they can't really even sign the draft class at this point. So even outside of is he worth that money at that price, the injury history, we got to be able to sign our draft class. Like, you talked about Kyle Pitts, we can't really sign him right now until we get some more money. All these other pieces we talk about, we got to do something. They might end up losing both of those. I don't know how that's going to work out, but I'm just saying it sucks they put themselves in a position like that to keep backloading contracts. But I also get the feeling that, you know, what for one, Shannon Sharpe was dead wrong for doing that because there's no way Julio knew he was on national TV when he said that. But when he said that so freely, like, oh, yeah, I'm out of here, that's done. Like, it's just a matter of how it happens. Does he get traded or do they cut him? But you can go ahead and be prepared as a Falcons fan. I'm sorry, Dre, but Julio's not going to be on that team. Because he was super candid with that response. But nope, this is a wrap. So it's a really tough spot. You hate to see that happen with somebody that's been so much to a city and to a team. But, gosh, I feel like he might go somewhere and be healthy and be a pure monster. And then people going to talk so bad about Atlanta for it. But it's like, what are you supposed to do? You still have to be able to spend money on the rest of the roster. So I hate it for the Falcons. I do.
And Atlanta not getting the first round pick for Julio Jones. They can forget that. You might get a second, but you have to have a stupid GM to trade a first round pick for an aging wide receiver who's only playing 5 or 6 games a season right now. And you're not going to get a first round pick for that. Yeah, you might get a second round pick at best, or maybe even a third. Otherwise, you know, you cut them. And don't get anything at all for him. But you ain't getting the first round pick unless you got a dumb GM managing that team.
All right, the big word into
Dallas Cowboys? Nah, I'm just joking. Nah, but we can negotiate Grady's contract, but that's something they got to look at. I mean, holding out hope some, but that's just a sign of the draft class, but I don't know what's going to happen. But, yeah, I'm just giving you a hard time, Gary. That's all I'm good.
Does Julio Jones have enough in the tank to go anywhere else and be a number one receiver?
I think so. If he can stay healthy, I do.
When healthy.
If he's healthy.
If healthy. Yeah.
But his track record over the last 2 years is that he can't stay healthy. So you got to judge it based on the last 2 years. But somebody's going to take a shot at him. There's no doubt about it.
Chuck, but you say that,
I like
and
it.
We said that about Aaron Rodgers, and he messed around and had an MVP season. You specifically talked bad about Aaron Rodgers before this past year. Aaron Rodgers didn't lost it. I don't think he's that good of a quarterback no more. You said, I heard you say it for 2 years, and that dude promptly went out and put out an MVP season. So it's not like it's not possible is all I'm saying.
I think
I'm not lying on you, am I?
No, you're right.
Hey, Aaron, we'll talk about that drama too. So, Curtis, Gary, I don't know if you guys wanted to add that because we got like literally 3 minutes left here, or about a minute before we get to OT portion. If you want to add that, or you want to talk about a different topic? I just had to talk about that because that's what's been here in Atlanta pretty big over here.
Well, you know, the one thing I want to talk about is Phil Mickelson, 50 years old, you know, winning it. Kopechia,
congrats.
You know,
that's
whining
amazing.
Because of slow play. That's part of golf. You always have golfers. As JQ well knows, yes, it can be frustrating at times when you're kind of in a groove and you're playing your game and you've got to hold up for some slow golfers, and it can take away that rhythm that you've built upon. We've dealt with that. But guess what? It's part of the game. Congrats to Phil, 50 years old.
Yep.
Hit for show, putt for dough. That's what it's all about.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
Congrats to Phil Mickelson, incredible performance. That was his first major win. His first major win was 17, 18 years ago. I think it was in 2003 or 2004. So phenomenal winning a major at 50 years old. Congratulations, Phil Mickelson. Well, you guys recognize the music. That is the end of our live portion of the show. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to have a brief OT portion to cap a few things off. So you can't get the OT portion live, so click on the same link and get the rest of the show any day this week. So we definitely look forward to y'all tuning in. Next week, we'll be back on live Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You do not want to miss it. We'll be back next week. Good night, people.
Yes, sir, absolutely. I apologize for my delay. I had to work the Stripers game, so I was running a little bit behind. But the Stripers did win bottom of the night. So there is that. We'll call it y'all next week. God damn it. Sorry.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good, JT. Well, like as Robin said, we're going to have a brief OT. I do want to kind of give you guys an opportunity to talk about anything you want to talk about in the topic section. So I don't know if you can see it. I put it in the chat. You know, we can talk about the drama in Green Bay, if you will, because apparently that is some huge drama, if you will, or we can kind of talk about some predictions. I know, Gary, we had a chance to connect about some predictions. Curtis, you know, again, the floor could be yours, too. So you have a quick opportunity to kind of talk about any topic, if you will, before we wrap up this, again, Season 6, Episode 213, believe it or not, of Talking Sports with the 12th Man, if you will. So we are just, again, 211, excuse me, we're flying by. So we'll start with you. We'll start with the West Coast, if you will.
Well, the first thing I want to say is Tom Brady in that cowboy jersey. I'd like to rip that thing off of that cheater. Number 12 is a retired jersey by Roger Staubach. Captain Comeback. War hero. You know.
Cincinnati, baby.
Heisman Trophy winner. Super Bowl champion. And he didn't cheat for hits. Tom Brady has one Super Bowl without an asterisk by it. Take that jersey off. I'd like to slap him right in the face.
Damn.
Go ahead, Curtis.
Yeah. Oh, but Phil Mickelson will break your heart when he plays next. He does not seem to hit any fairway. He's always getting out of the lead. He's always on the other side of the golf course. But
he's a lefty, that's why.
And it was amazing to watch this season. And if the young kid was in general, man, because that guy is in outer space, then that's just the way that goes. And he earned it from all the bucking that he got from Tiger Woods.
Well, you know, when Curtis was talking about Phil, and as a lefty's going to hit the opposite way. A lefty, you know, I'm a left-handed golfer, so I see how he hits and where he hits, and of course my shots are a lot shorter and a lot further into the woods and sticks, of course. But you watch the guy, how he plays out of it. His approach shots out of the rough, underneath the tree, behind, you know, a bush or whatever. And he's really magical with some of those shots. But he's played his whole career like that. Oh, yeah. Because he's played his whole career, really, you know, as one of the, you know, the least in hitting into the fairways off of his drives. You know, he has, you know, like he's, you know, down in the 20s, 25th or whatever, you know, of the top pros. So he plays out of the rough a lot. And he can do wonders out of that stuff.
I found out that he was actually right-handed. Oh, I look cursed because I didn't, but I found out he was actually right-handed. His dad was left-handed and taught him how to play, which is why. That's an interesting stat, by the way, too. So I'm like, wow, he's got I'm a left-handed guy, too, but that's just interesting how, because his dad was left-handed, that's how he ended up becoming lefty. So that's just an interesting stat. Go ahead, Curtis.
I was going to say, and another thing, that was amazing. There was not any bet on this weekend. No bets on Steel winning that tournament at the beginning of the tournament. He didn't get a single bet.
Dang.
And wow. They won a lot of money.
Well, they would have, but nobody bet.
We have a millionaires at that juncture. All good. All good. What you got, JQ?
Nothing.
I got you. You long day, man. I feel you, man. Strippers, man. Strippers, whatever you want to call them. Good job, man. Look at that. Strippers. No, the strippers.
I'm good. No, I mean, we talked about what I would have wanted to talk about. That's a good call. The only thing I would say about that is that after Monica Seles got stabbed, when that fool ran out in the court and stabbed her in the back, I was really surprised that the PJ allowed the fans to get that close to them, coming down 17-18 to where they engulfed them and they had to fight them with the sheriff to get them out of the crowd. That to me, Phil was amazing, don't get me wrong. But the fact that was allowed, you know, when he was winning, you saw that happening, they had like three security guards or sheriffs and you got hundreds of people, you know, I saw them grab Phil and I was like, whoa, wait, that's not okay. This is a PGA, this is one of the four majors. Why is security not tighter than this for them? So I'm not worried about what Brooks said. I was more concerned about, are you going to get one crazy Tiger Woods fan that says, F you, Phil, yeah, and just catches them.
Yeah.
Like, because you just don't know anymore, given what we've seen. So that would be my only piece about that I was really surprised. Like, it was cool the fans were chanting for him and was really into it like that, but you've got to be able to separate the fans from the player, and I felt that was dangerous. And I'm sure he enjoyed it because there was room for him, but the next day or two, you know, the past couple of days, I'm sure he said something to him like, hey, that can never happen again like that.
Yeah. He imagined Tiger was on the tour, and that would have been – there would have been no way to handle that, man. That would have been a disaster, 100%.
Well, the thing of it is when it's so – it's expected with Tiger to have those crowds, to have them follow them like that.
But not touch them like that, though. That would be
– right. Ooh. The thing with Tiger is when he's in that tournament, they always have so much security there, you know, because he's such a draw that instead of three security guards, they probably would have had 20, and it would have been a whole different scenario. And I think that's what they need to look at, because all those guys are still stars. All those guys deserve to be safe. And to not, you know, you trip one of those guys, they twist an ankle, they do something, or they get injured or attacked, whatever, you know, then they're out. And then, you know, and that would be horrible. So they've got to look at that, and I'm sure they are.
I also want to say, somebody that was there for, they didn't hit the ball in the grandstand. Both of them did. Coming to the last hole. And so it gives a lot of idiots an opportunity there. They let a lot of idiots get that opportunity. They should have kept the ball away from them guys. And I know they know how to do it. But they didn't. They put it right where they were. And I thought that was going to be a disaster. And it ends up being one.
Yep. Good call. All right, Rob, let's wrap this up. And then just wanted to let you know, too, if you don't get a chance to talk about some really good topics, Rob, especially I want to expound a little bit more on some QB battles if you don't get a chance to talk about that. And, again, the drama in Green Bay. We don't get a chance to really dive into that. So if you want to trade that to next week as well as some predictions. I know Gary was talking about he was prepared for some predictions, little things like that, too. I think it was for the AFC East, if you will. So if you want to dive into that next week and carry on some topics, that's totally fine, too. So just throwing that out there, if you will, too, as well. So you can do your last topic and let's wrap up the show, if you will.
Sounds good. I'll just recap some of the NBA playoff series really quick, and we'll go ahead and end the show. Obviously, we look at the Sixers and the Wizards. Russ Westbrook and Bradley Beal. I don't expect the Wizards to win this series, but man, it'd be exciting duo to watch play, man, that backcourt with those two guys. I mean, I don't think they have enough. They'll be exciting to watch in this first round of the playoffs, man. Those guys attack the baskets, gave the Sixers all they can handle there in game one. I don't think they'll have enough. I don't think they have an answer for Joel Embiid down low. But yeah, just watching those guys play. Is really exciting, this Westbrook and Beal. Pretty interesting to see what they can do in the offseason to possibly put another piece with those guys. The Nets and Celtics, this will be over really fast.
no Jaylen Brown. And you look at game one in that series, the Nets just couldn't throw it in the ocean. But they were playing really good defense. But once they were starting able to hit shots in game one, then tonight, man, Joe Harris just lit them up with 7 3-pointers. And, that series, just like the Bucks and the Heat, I think the Nets and the Celtics series will be over really fast. I tell you, that Hawks and Knicks series is going to be one fun one to watch in the Eastern Conference. That was a heck of a ball game on Sunday, and I think this could be a really close series, a heck of a matchup. Two young teams here coming out of it. The Hawks got a lot of weapons. They got a lot of guys that can shoot the basketball on that team. So it's going to be really interesting. But Julius Randle, the most improved player in the league, and R.J. Barrett, we'll see what kind of, bounce back they have as well. Donovan Mitchell, I can only imagine that he'll be back for game two. The Utah Jazz cannot win. They may can beat the Grizzlies without him, but they cannot win a championship without Donovan Mitchell. They can forget it. And I can only imagine after losing game one that they have to get him back here for game two, and hopefully he's healthy. So that's going to be really interesting as well, watching that series play. Trey was getting all kinds of stuff, man.
Talk about FU Trey, and like you talked about JQ, and then talking about Heli Clinton for fouls. Come on, man. New York is hating, man. They just thought they were going to come in with us, man. Like, come on, man. It ain't going to be like that. We didn't play that well. Bob Donovan said,
that's
a good
New
night.
York, man.
Y'all already have a good night. And I'm like, that's why I give Jake, him credit, because they were not expecting to have 15,000 fans in there. And that's intimidating to have no fans, to 15,000 fans in Madison Square Garden. Yo, that was ice cold, like you said, man. That was just amazing. I was just happy to see him represent, man. So that was big time. That's
all we need. Just cut the lead to two.
I know.
Yep.
Wait, no JQ's team. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
One other thing I wanted to mention to you guys, I thought about this. What do you guys think about doing the show on Monday night next week? I know that's Memorial Day. How do you guys feel about that?
Say Monday night?
Mm-hmm.
I've got a wedding Monday night, man, if I could work for me.
You do? Okay.
My apologies. Yeah, it's fucking work. As much as I'd love to, but, unless y'all want to camp, y'all can do it. Y'all can run the show if you want to, if you really need to.
No. Yeah, I might be out of town the rest of the week, but so we can talk about it further. But maybe you guys may have to hold the fourth down next week.
Yeah, I think if we got to do a season, we're boys enough to like I said too. So I get it. So, but
we're flexible.
Yeah. Like I said, this is the one I got four events, gentlemen, this weekend. So this is gonna be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I'm DJing. Yeah, man. So I'm gonna be white next week, man. So, but bear with me.
They'd be glad
to stop canceling.
I won't cancel it on the people.
Absolutely. No, I wouldn't do that anymore, man. Come on, man. Rob, man, how can you only live, man? That was whenever I was young, Dre, man. Come on, man. I've grown and matured, man. I'm not like that same Dre anymore, man. You keep trying to bring that down, man. Come on, man. I did enjoy that.
You gotta have a little fun, man.
A little bit about the guys in the team last night. Jack had them out on the stretcher. Those games went out late last night. It was only Kenny and the announcer, dude. All the other three went out before it was over. Doing those late nights on the
east. Gotcha. JQ, you going to sleep or you watching the game, man? You going to watch the rest of it or are you going to turn in?
No, man, I'm going to sleep. My heart can't take this. I'm tired.
All right, gentlemen. Hey, Chris, appreciate you fighting, brother. Yeah, I'm sure Gary will give you a quick play-by-play. Hey, Rob, congratulations. I want to say happy anniversary to you and yours. Prayers for the family as well. Prayers for Curtis and obviously all the good jazz too, man. So we try to keep a tight-knit situation too. So Gentlemen, have a great and safe Memorial weekend. If you guys are doing any traveling, if you're staying in town, definitely make sure that you guys stay safe in all your endeavors, too. And, JQ, you do need to get some rest from the shot, too, man, because, I don't know, I thought I was cool, and that kind of hit me harder than expected, too. So just make sure that you rest up and...
Absolutely. Right. Yes, sir. I'm going to go sleep. Gotcha. I'm tired.
All right. We'll see you next same time, same channel, gentlemen. Peace.
See y'all.
Good night, gentlemen. Have a good week.